us up. Close our eyes for a second. And can we stay in that space of gratefulness and thankfulness for the Lord, unto the Lord? Lord, we thank you because we're surrounded by you, Jesus. We thank you, God, because you've been faithful and true, oh God. Because all our life, as we look back in retrospect, God, we can say, God, that you have been faithful. As we look at the big things in our life and the small things in our life and the trivial things, oh God, the things that maybe we looked over, God, but those small and big things, God, you have certainly been faithful towards us, Jesus. And so we want to stay in this space of gratefulness and thankfulness, oh God, of appreciation for who you are and what you've been towards us, oh God. Can you lift your hands with me? Well, can we recognize how faithful God has been to us? Come on, can you thank God tonight for how faithful he has been, for how patient he has been with us? The amount of times that we've been unfaithful to him, if someone would have been unfaithful to us in that manner, we would have given up on them. But God has been faithful to us in every season of our life. And that's why we stay in this space of gratefulness and appreciation and thankfulness. Why we say, oh God, all that we need is you, Jesus. Why we say that all our life, oh God, we recognize, Lord, that you have been faithful, oh God. That we've been living in your goodness, oh God, in your mercies. We thank you tonight, God. May that sit in our spirits, oh God, and may we remember every day of our life, oh God, that you have been faithful to us, that you are faithful to us, and that you will continue to be faithful to us. May we be faithful unto you, Jesus. May we be faithful and true to you, Jesus. We thank you, O Lord, for this moment of worship, O God, that you give us, O Lord, tonight, Lord. And we thank you for preparing the atmosphere for the word of God tonight, oh Lord. We pray that it would be your word, oh God, that comes forth, oh Lord. I hide myself behind you, oh Lord. May it be your spirit that speaks tonight, Lord. In your name we pray. And we all say amen. And thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We want to welcome you tonight. And we're grateful to the Lord. I feel like the Lord is speaking to us. And we just want to share under the theme black and white, black and white. And I think it's safe to say that in life, you and I can agree, we can agree that we would rather things to be black and white. In other words, when there isn't a sense of doubt, when it's either this or that, when it's yes or no, when it's either in or out, cold or hot, hot or cold. It's also a truth and a certainty that we hate the maybes of life. We hate the uncertain and the unknown of life. We would want to avoid the maybes that come up in our life and with our situations. We hate these gray spaces, these uneasy spaces in our life. Because these gray and middle and in-between spaces bring confusion. They bring uncertainty, instability, uneasiness. And so we always want to know, are you in or are you out? Should I stay or should I go? Should I turn left or should I turn right? Is this the way or not? We always want the certain things, black or white. We hate the uncertain. We hate the doubts. We hate these gray spaces. And that's in our human context. Bringing it to this gospel and the Savior that we confess to love. The gospel is black and white. In other words, there should be there should not be any type of confusion when we think about this gospel. In our lives, there will be uncertainties, but what this gospel is, it should never be, there's uncertainties in our life that will come, but the gospel should never be one of those uncertain, doubtful, questionable, uneasy things. God's desire is not to confuse his people. His plan for our lives is not to keep us in a life of uncertainty nor walking around with doubt when it comes to who he is and what this gospel is all about. He doesn't want us to be living these uncertain lives. That is the truth. First Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." Scripture tells us that he is the Prince of Peace. One of my life verses, Psalm 23:2, paints this beautiful picture, this calming picture of God's attribute of peace when it says, "He makes me lie down in green meadows. He leads us beside peaceful waters." The plan of God is not for us to live unsettling lives, lives filled with doubt, lives filled of uncertainty. It is to lead us beside peaceful waters. When we think about what is peaceful, green meadows, quietness. And so scripture tells us that this is his attribute. This is one of the things that he does, is he leads us towards peace and not towards storm or calamity. This God, which implies that this gospel is not and should not be confusing, is black and white. This gospel that we serve, this gospel that we follow, is black and white. Unfortunately, many of us find ourselves in gray spaces within our life. These gray spaces that we hate in our human thought, in our human context, but we seem to love in our spiritual walk. And I want to tell someone that in this place, that God's plan for our life is not to live out our life in gray spaces, in uneasy moments. But he wants to be clear and black and white about life, and most importantly, about this gospel that we follow, this gospel that has changed our life, this gospel that touches our heart, this gospel that meets us and finds us even in the lowest of lows. And in the next couple of connects, the hope is to probably to share what this gospel is about, black and white, certainties, right? Senior pastor preached, and I feel like the Holy Spirit was connecting it about absolutes in life. So if you can open your scripture with me to Matthew 16:24. And the hope is that as we learn that this gospel is black and white, that we know that that this would help check ourselves and where we are in this walk, in this gospel that we profess. Matthew 16:24. "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" We need to look here and see that Jesus is not speaking to unbelievers. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, it says. To his people, to believers, to men that follow him, that served with him, that not only knew of him, but actually knew him. He was talking to people like you and I. What does this tell me? It tells me that just as unbelievers need a reminder and need to know that this gospel is black and white, that they need to make clear-cut decisions, so do believers like you and I. It doesn't matter where we find ourselves in our belief and how long we've been here. We need to continually make black and white, clear-cut decisions in our life when it comes to this gospel. We need to make clear-cut decisions in our lives and how we live if we're going to profess this gospel. There isn't more or less of leniency for believers or unbelievers. The leniency we receive is simply that Christ loves us all. And that God loves us so much that he has extended this leniency, or better called mercy, so that you and I can receive this gospel that is salvation for the believer. And so Christ makes a clear-cut and dry statement to his believers, to people like you and I that follow him, that profess this gospel, to make sure that they knew that what they were doing, to sift them, to filter out or what was required, so that they would know what was required of them in this life. And also making this statement for those on the outside, Because as Christ was teaching to his disciples, there were others on the outside listening in to what he was saying. So Christ is speaking to the insider and the outsider. He says, if anyone will come after me, in other words, if anyone would like to enjoy the gift, the mercies that come with following me, the blessings that come when we follow this loving God, he says, he must deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. Deny himself. You and I are called. The first thing is to deny ourselves. You and I are called to live out lives in constant denial of ourselves. Self-denial does not mean self-abuse. It's not self-neglect, nor lack of self-esteem, nor does it mean to not have ambition. But what it does mean is that our hearts and our focus should be so intent on God that we disown, disassociate ourselves and claim no relationship with anything that is not of God. It's a complete detachment of the things that are not of God, denying ourselves. You know why? Because if we give even a little space to the enemy, if we give even a little space to our bad habits, before we know it, these bad habits have overtaken us. You know, I share this often. I tell people, no addict has ever started off saying, I'm going to be an addict. No alcoholic has ever said, I'm going to be an alcoholic. Rather, it's been here, there, a little bit. No drug addict has said, I want to become a drug addict. It's been small here and there, small things. And so Christ is alerting us to say, guys, deny yourself. Don't even let little moments in life deter you from following me. He's saying, deny yourself. Christ is calling us towards consistency. We need to be consistent, black and white in our stance that we want only him. That we should long only him. That we should want nothing else but him, but what comes with him. And I think that for many of us, this is a bit of a scary or a too big of a statement, because we still have a mentality or a misconception that what God wants isn't necessarily what I want. That what God is calling me to do isn't necessarily what I would want to do. That what God is calling me to do is not the most comfortable thing to do. And I got to let you know that oftentimes you're right, it is not. Oftentimes it might be true, but we need to know the God that we serve. Scripture tells us that he opens his hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing, the psalmist said. What we also need to remember is what I shared the last time that we shared at Connect, that once we love God and once we love the Lord, our desires aren't taken away. Rather, we willingly align our desires to God's desires. And so when we do this thing, he blesses us with the desires of our hearts, because our desires are now aligned with what he would want for our life. This gospel is black and white. We must constantly deny ourselves, deny our fleshly way of thinking, speaking, and doing. I'll say that again. We must constantly deny our fleshly way of thinking, speaking, and doing. Do as Christ has done. In the verses prior to this verse, Christ is explaining that he must suffer for the hope, right? He has to go through suffering. And Peter, in a bold and human response, he says to him, God, and paraphrases, God, don't worry about it. You're not going to go through that. I'm not going to let that happen to you. Jesus responds and rebukes Peter. And he rebukes Peter and tells him, get thee behind me, Satan, he calls Peter. Why was it? Because Christ was denying his human way and human thought for God's way and God's thought. He knew that he needed to suffer. And it wasn't even going to be someone that he loved that would stop him from fulfilling the plan and the purpose that he had, that God had for him. This is what we need to do. This is the example that Christ has left for us. We need to deny ourselves, and we need to do whatever we can, whatever is possible, to live out lives denying ourselves and following Christ. This gospel is black and white. We must, as believers, die to our fleshly desires every day. We must deny ourselves and long for God's will over ours. The second thing that he says is pick up our cross. It is black and white that there will be moments in our lives that our suffering won't go away. That we will pray and pray and pray and pray, and the suffering and the thorn, as Paul called it, will stay. Paul was desperately praying to God. God, take this away from me. Take this suffering away from me. Take this issue away from me. And God did not, it was not in God's plan for that to happen for Paul. But Christ reminds us that you and I will have to endure, as he tells us to pick up the cross. We will have to endure, manage, and dominate this suffering. This cross in order to live lives of a true follower of Christ. In other words, we can't only identify with Christ in victory without identifying with him in suffering. Paul says in Philippians 3, 10 to 11, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and I may share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. In other words, attain the victory. He says, I want to share in his suffering. Paul, understanding that he needed to suffer, that there would be moments where he would need to pick up his cross and follow Christ. And this isn't something we want to hear or something that's easy to preach, but sometimes you and I have to follow Christ even while we carry our own cross. We will have to continue this role, be consistent in our walk, even while we carry this burden, even while we carry this thorn, even while we suffer. Christ is telling us this is black and white. Sometimes you're going to suffer. Sometimes the suffering will not go away, but you still need to follow me. This is the true mark of a follower. In our human relationships, these are the signs of who is our real friend. This is what we long for in a real friend. Someone who can withstand difficult and storm-filled seasons and decides to still be constant in our relationship. This is what we long for in our human context. Is it not? Aren't those the type of friends, the type of people, circle we're looking for? Through thick and thin, we want to know that the people that are surrounding us will be there. That there will be confusion. Rather, it'll be black and white. They will or won't be there. That's the type of people we are looking for in our relationships. People that when suffering comes, they don't drift away. Rather, they stay constant. Isn't it interesting? And in the theological aspect of this text, that Christ invites us and I to be true followers of him by mirroring what he did. He followed the Father's plan even unto suffering or through suffering. Isn't it interesting? It should be encouraging that God says, pick up your cross. It jumps to me. He says, pick up your cross and follow me. That you and I, what came to my heart, what the Lord shared was that you and I have the opportunity to pick up this suffering, this issue that we're dealing with, and still have the gift and opportunity to follow him. He doesn't say, well, you have a cross, so you got to stay to the side until you let go of that cross. He says, pick it up, still follow me. What I hear God saying is you have the power to also dominate the burden and the hardship. He's calling us to dominate it by picking it up. When you physically grab something and pick it up, you're essentially dominating the thing. And Christ is asking us and challenging us to dominate this hardship, this trial that we're going through. I hear God telling us, you can still follow me with your hardship, but you can also dominate this hardship. It does not have to take over you. It does not have to lead how you deal, lead how your emotions change or how you engage with people, this hardship. In our following of Jesus, our burdens and our hardships are made lighter. Not because they go away from one day to the next, but rather because now we don't carry them alone. Matthew 11 gives us an example of what occurs. It says, come to me, Christ is saying, all who are labor and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. We see the parallel saying, pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, if you follow me even while you are labored and heavy laden, I will give you rest. There is rest to be found as we follow Christ while we pick up our cross. The challenge is for us to not allow our crosses to weigh us down. The challenge is to not allow what we struggle with to stop us from following Christ. The challenge is to not allow these crosses to become our idols even. Because sometimes what we struggle with become our idols. We wake up thinking about it. We go through the day thinking about it. We go to sleep thinking about it. And the last thing we want to do is pray. We struggle with to stop, to not allow what we struggle with, the challenge to not allow us to struggle, this struggle that we are dealing with to stop us from following Christ, to not make them our crutch or hindrance, to keep moving forward, to be consistency in our walk with Him, to keep pushing through. This is black and white. You must pick up your cross even as we follow Christ. And lastly, as I ask the team to come up, is follow me. Allow ourselves, it means to allow ourselves to be guided by God. To allow Him to lead us, to surrender completely to His leading. For us to let go of the wheel and allow Him to grab a hold of it. I told somebody one time, and you know, I'm not witty like this. You know, I feel like it's the Holy Spirit that blesses me sometimes here and there. But I told him, I said, dude, you gotta get out the driver's seat of your life. You gotta get on the passenger side. You gotta let Christ, in other words, drive. You gotta let God drive. We said, as we said earlier, that following Him also meant enjoying everything that comes with being with God. That following implies relationship. Everything that comes with having a relationship with God, we receive when we follow. His victory, His strength, His lighter yoke, His mercies, and His grace, byproducts of following a loving God, a forgiving God. He makes the invitation for us to enjoy everything that comes with Him by us following Him. As we deny ourselves and as we pick up our cross, this gospel is black and it's white. Christ lays it out plain as day. If you want to be called a follower of Christ, if you want to enjoy what comes, the byproduct of being a follower of Christ, of being called a Christian, a follower of Christ, we must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him. We must live lives no longer guided or driven by the me. The superficial and consumerist mindset, but by denying ourselves daily and getting rid of the mindset of our mindset for His. This gospel is black and white. Yes, God loves us. Yes, Christ died for us, for us all, but we need to know that we need to live lives a certain manner. We need to make decisions, certain type of decisions. We cannot say that we love God and continue to do otherwise in our lives. We cannot say that I love God and not try to do everything in my strength to align my life to His. I cannot say that I love God and not do my best to make the proper adjustments in my life, in my daily life, in my daily living. It's as simple as us looking at our personal relationships. I can't say that I love my wife if I don't serve my wife. I can't say that I love my wife if I don't honor my wife. Same thing goes, we got to think about the selfish thought, right? Like, we don't want people to love us for only for what we can give. We want it to be a two-way street. And yet we find ourselves constantly in these gray spaces of our life, wanting it to be a one-way street with God. I cannot say that I love God and not try to do everything in my strength, not make the proper adjustments in my life. Job tells us that the price of wisdom is above pearls. And then it says that turning away from evil, from fleshly desires and longings, that's wisdom. And that's understanding. The challenge tonight, as the team comes up, is to ask ourselves, are we living lives that please my flesh or deny my flesh? Am I living a life of constant denial, right? It's not lacking of ambition. It's not lacking of good things for myself, but it's more looking to God at all times. Am I living a life denying myself every day, denying my flesh every day? Am I living a life that is allowing my hardships, my struggles to become stumbling blocks? Or am I dominating these things? Or am I taking a hold of the strength that God tells us we have? And dominating and attempting to dominate and take a hold of these things. Are we allowing God to lead and guide us, or are we following in our own way, or are we following Him all in? The beautiful thing is that God is here, the altar is open, and He wants to help us. As I got ready for this, I thought to myself, the gospel isn't in or out in the sense of, are you in the gospel or are you out the gospel? Because God's longing is for all of us to be in the gospel. He doesn't even want it to be an option for us to be out the gospel. And so God wants to do everything that He can that you would allow to help you live this life and be a true follower of God. So if denying your flesh is hard, God is here to help you with that. So if picking up your cross, your daily struggles, and also following Christ is hard, Christ is here to help you with that. So if following God is difficult for you, if you want to receive everything, the byproducts of following Christ without doing the work, God is also here to make the adjustment on our mindset to know that we need to follow Him to receive the byproducts of who He is. He's here to help us with that as well. As we worship, the altar is open. You know, sometimes I know that it's a little intimidating to come up. Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe there won't be anybody else. Everyone's going to look at me. But this gospel is also about vulnerability. A relationship with God is about vulnerability as well. Being vulnerable before the Lord to allow Him to help us in the areas we need. This gospel is black and white, y'all. If we want to be called followers of Christ, we must deny ourselves and pick up our cross. The altar is open.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.